Welcome back to another episode of the Amkiss podcast. I'm Simon Jones, and today we're talking about attracting and building relationships with tomorrow's parents. We have Victoria Dedmongat, Director of Marketing, Admissions and Engagement at Royal Russell School, and Dominic Calentari, VP of Europe at Open Apply by Farrier. They're also a headline sponsor at the Amkiss Annual Conference 2026. This is a great episode. You'll love what they both have to say. Come with me now into this recording. Here we go.
Welcome back to the Amkiss podcast, brought to you by the Bonjour Agency. Amkiss is the Association for Admissions, Marketing and Communications in Independent Schools. And this is the podcast where we speak to people in the independent school sector. Let's get into this episode right now.
Well, today I'm talking to two people. Both are movers and shakers in the world of independent education. Victoria, first of all, welcome back to the podcast. How are you today?
I'm very well. Thank you for having me back.
It's great to have you on here. And Dominic, how are you doing today?
Yeah, really well, thanks, Simon. And thank you again for having me on this podcast.
Dominic, I'm going to start with you very briefly. So Open Apply by Farrier, what exactly is that? A lot of people listening to this will have at least heard of Open Apply. Some people will be using it. Some people will know it and not be using it. What actually is Open Apply by Farrier?
Yeah, I think if I was to give you the one word or the one sentence summary, Simon, the best way of putting it is kind of an end-to-end inquiry to enrollment system. So it allows schools to hopefully manage everything that is coming in from an admissions perspective before handing them over to their kind of MIS or handing them over to the school off the admissions team when they are enrolled on the first day.
Okay, makes perfect sense. Thanks for that, Dominic. And Victoria, give us a brief overview, a quick snapshot of Royal Russell.
So Royal Russell School is in South London. We are a co-educational school educating girls and boys from age 3 through to age 18. And we are predominantly day, but we have some boarding too.
And today then we're talking about attracting and building relationships with tomorrow's parents. Which is an interesting title to unpack. We could talk about this, I think, for hours. So we're just going to be, in some ways, just going into a shallow depth on this instead of a deep dive, because we've only got sort of 20, 25 minutes. We need to respect the time of people who are listening to this right now. Victoria, where do you think schools lose trust without realizing it, especially early in the journey?
I think it's about the consistency of the communication that you're having with families. So really, before any family contacts you, you need to and your team have a thought about what does an elegant customer experience and customer journey look like for you? How do you want to show up for them? And then just being true to that. I think we can kind of mystify it a little bit too much. You know, these customers that we need to attract, these customers are usually just people like you who like it when companies do what they say they're going to do on time, and it feels like a nice rhythm. So not bombarding people, not ghosting them either. So I think that's where they lose trust, when the reality is not as strong as the perception. That's when you lose the trust. So you need to try to do your very best to make sure that at every point in that journey, you're showing up exactly how you want to every time.
It's interesting, isn't it? When we talk about expectation, because, you know, you can go somewhere and have a very high expectation, but then if that service isn't delivered, you can come away, even though you've received a much better level of service than you would have done from somewhere else. But if your expectation was that it was going to be even greater, then actually you start to lose trust and you generate discomfort and unhappiness in the customer. Dominic, when you're visiting schools, you've worked in the independent school sector for a good number of years. What do you see when it comes to happy customers, prospective families getting in touch, the service that you provide with your software, how do you see it helping them? It's a very broad question here.
Yeah,
tell me your thoughts on this.
No, of course, Simon. And I would think I would just really echo Victoria's words there, that, you know, our parents are buying a luxury service in educating their children at an independent school or an international school across the world. And what they are doing, I think, first and foremost, is they want to feel important. They want to feel special. You know, how is that approach tailored to them? How is it what they're looking at? How are you communicating with them? I was talking to a school yesterday around, you know, maybe the days of email communication are coming upon us. And, you know, actually, is the communication going to be via WhatsApp with parents instead? And we're already seeing that in you know, international schools globally. But actually, I think we're really now starting to see that in the UK. And how can we make that a personalised touch for a parent? So what are they doing on the school website that means what can we then show them in the admissions funnel and the admissions journey? So if they're really interested in facilities and what their experience may be like at school from a visual aspect, maybe rather than academics, then are we communicating to them during the admissions journey, or are we just talking about academics, even though we know the parent isn't actually really that interested in that? So really trying to tailor that approach whilst building that trust, as Victoria says.
Yeah, I guess it could be easy, couldn't it, for someone who works in admissions to sort of fall into their regular routine. They talk about this, they talk about that, they talk about that. And as you say, Dominic, it may well be that the prospective family is more interested in that thing over there instead of A, B and C. So we talked here about luxury service. Victoria, you mentioned elegant customer journey. I love that, by the way. Picking up on what Dominic was talking about there regarding communication, how do we get that balance between tailoring the communication so it is more personal, possibly WhatsApp instead of an email or something like that, against the idea that somebody might think, gosh, why are they contacting me on WhatsApp? This is what I use for my family chats. I don't want to be bombarded now with sales messages through this medium that I use for personal communication.
Yeah, I mean, really specifically when it comes to WhatsApp, you know, Dominic's so correct with overseas parents are doing this already. Agents want your WhatsApp. So really, I think it is about having a separate one as well from your personal one, because...
Absolutely, couldn't agree with you there more, Victoria.
I don't want to see a message from an agent alongside my Ibiza girls trip WhatsApp group. So, so that's really important. I think in terms of what the parents want, it's what's fantastic for us at the moment, and also a little bit trying sometimes, is they're really not shy to tell you exactly what they want, exactly what's special and unique about their child. So just lean into that, and actually it's the listening part and then tailoring the messaging to that. And in terms of platforms, I think it's just really important to just show up in all the places that you think are appropriate for your families, and they will reach you in the place that they're comfortable with. So they may only want to be emailed, or they may only want to talk on WhatsApp. But if you're present in all of those spaces, they'll lean into where they're feeling comfortable. But then you need to absolutely follow up in a timely fashion in the platform that they're most comfortable in.
I couldn't agree with that more. And when you've got, you know, you don't want parents chasing for updates or having to guess on the next steps. I think you just need to be really clear, really transparent about the process. How does it flow? How does it go through from one part to another? But equally, hold the parents' hand. They're about to spend a rather large sum of money. And they, you know, for some of them, this will be the very first time they've spent that kind of money on a service such as independent school, and really do hold their hand as they go through that journey all the way through up until, you know, their child literally arrives on the first day of term, where the parental nerves will be at the absolute highest.
Yeah, and that stewardship as well from the point of acceptance form through to first day in the school is so important. And I think sometimes we can think, okay, that's done, they're happy, they know that they've got the uniform list and we'll see them in September. But actually, for a luxury product, they do kind of want that bit of affirmation continually through the process until they join the community formally. So I think it's about mapping out that elegant customer journey and thinking, what would it look like in an ideal scenario, and just following through with that.
Dominic, in the schools that you've visited around the country, I'm sure you've seen a number of different admissions and marketing teams. How would you recommend that someone in charge of an admissions team handles a member of staff who may be reluctant to change the way that they communicate because they like using one particular medium, be that email, be that telephone, whatever, and maybe they're failing to recognise that customers do have different needs or desires? How could someone address something where someone in their team doesn't want to change the way they do it?
No, so I mean, I think it's a fair point, really. And you know, Victoria's put it very, very well here that, you know, different parents want different things. And just because you've always done X as a school doesn't necessarily mean that you should continue doing X. And the needs and wants of families are constantly changing. And for those schools that have junior and senior schools, for example, the parents of pupils in the junior school will be wanting something slightly different to parents potentially of pupils in the senior school. And what I would really say to schools is go and have a look at A, how are your competitors doing this, because ultimately your parents are seeing that experience as well. You know, there's very few parents now who are only looking at one school and only going through one process. A significant number of parents, if not the vast majority, will be in more than one process at more than one school, and they'll be comparing what is that experience like. So, you know, I often say to directors of admissions, you know, when was the last time they know somebody that's cold called or spoken to another school, or what does their inquiry form look like on their website? What is that parental experience looking like? And I would say, make sure you're one step ahead of that. Make sure it's slightly more tailored, slightly more personal. How do you make it that you're giving the parent something that's slightly unique to them? I always come back to, you know, when you're in the rest, if you go out for a restaurant or something similar, the magic moment. What is the part of that meal that you really remember that makes you think, wow, I want to go back to that restaurant again? And that's what you need to do as part of the parental experience and the parental journey in that enrollment, in that inquiry to enrollment part. Because once you've done that, that parent will think, wow, they've offered me something slightly different. That must translate to education, or that must translate to what's actually happening in the school. Parents want to feel special. They want to feel important, and rightly so when spending the kind of sums that they are. We just need to treat them as such.
One of the things I always advise parents is try on as many schools as possible. So that speaks to, you know, we know they're going to be in lots of different processes, but we're so confident that when people visit us here and they experience the magic, that they're going to really resonate with it. So I say to families in London, across the UK, internationally, try on as many schools as possible, because the relationship you have with the people that are representing the school is generally what it's like in that school. You know, we tend to recruit people, of course, who match the ethos of the school. And I think it's really important that parents do that. And we had one child in our 11 plus process last year, who was in 8 different processes. Gosh. So another reason to really think about your customer experience is, if that family's in 8 processes, which is way too many in my opinion, but they are going to be going to at least 8 different assessment days with different types of requirements on each day. So how do you make it as easy as possible for the parents to engage in that process with you in terms of your drop-off times, your pick-up times, and is it easy for the parents to access what you're doing on your assessment day? So as much as 8 is, I think, is way too many, just think about the fact that maybe they're in 3 or 4 serious processes, and how do you make yours, how do you remove as much friction as possible for them? Because parents are usually, both parents are working, and they have super busy lives as well, usually more than one child as well. So how do you make it as easy as possible for them to engage with you in the way that you like?
See, I love that confidence of actually recommending that they go and visit other schools and check them out. There's a beautiful level of confidence there. Okay, so we've talked about the medium. Let's talk about content for a moment. What should schools be creating to attract tomorrow's parents?
I think whatever it is, just make sure it's authentic. Of course, we all love the glossy videos and photographs and the stringed music and vistas and all of that kind of stuff. And that is, people do expect that. And that we do that incredibly well in the UK. So, of course, let's shout about that. But in terms of the actual experience in the school, I think people are probably sick of me saying it here in Roy and Russell, but show the personality with a capital P. That's exactly what we need to show families. That's what differentiates us. So I think whatever it is, just make sure it's authentic, and it doesn't have to be super polished. It can just be really quick, and it doesn't have to have graphics on it or intro music and things like that. People want to see real, and that's what we show them when they come and they see us in person, but they want to see real in the classroom as well. They want to see those authentic moments that they're not able to see, and that's obviously for prospective parents, but that's also for our current parents as well, and they love to see that too.
And Simon, I would just add to that very briefly, if you don't mind, that, you know, I would say to school, don't try and be something you're not, or always try and be the school that you actually are. It comes to Victoria's point, you know that, you know, pupils are going to be looking at a number of different schools. Make sure yours stands out for your USPs, and you get the right parents in your school that fit your ethos and what you're trying to achieve, because actually that's where you'll get a better community with happier parents, and happier parents are probably your biggest advocate out there talking to other parents. You can spend all the money you want on marketing or making something try to look authentic, but if people believe that the school isn't, and that's what they're what mums and dads are talking about, then people won't fundamentally come to the school. So always try and be authentic, be real and true to what you actually are, and sell that and put that and portray that forward as part of your admissions process.
So some people might be listening to this right now thinking authenticity, check, happy parents, check. But how does that actually look in real life? I mean, what are the actual marketing tactics that either of you would recommend for something like that?
I think I mentioned this in the last podcast that I did. We're living in an age of the democratization of marketing. There are so many different platforms and so many different tools that you can use. So I would say have a look and have a play with what there is on the market. The MKIS conference is a fantastic marketplace for things like that. Not only that the vendors are in the room with you, but also that your peers will recommend things that they think are fantastic as well, and you can take those away. But I think in terms of creating content, you really just have to do something that feels authentic to you, but you have to keep showing up there. You can't just do it one post on Instagram a month and think we've nailed it and then move on. So just think about what it is, you know, through your school's core values. We generally all have core values. How are you showing up in those spaces that reflect the core values, but also what are your admissions goals? So for us, we're looking at gender balance, of course, because we're co-ed, but we know that girls in independent education are four times more likely, it may be more or less now, but around four times more likely to go to a single gender school. So we're always thinking...
Gosh, is that right? I didn't know that.
Oh gosh, I hope it is right. Let's say it's right. Let's Donald Trump it. It's completely right. But we need to make sure that we're really working hard for those girls so they can see girl leadership and also female leadership within the school across our staff body. So that's something that we're always looking at, as well as, one of our other goals is diversification of countries represented in our boarding houses. So we're always looking to do work with that. So really just take it back to basics about what it is you're trying to achieve, and just do a infrequent spot check. Are we hitting those things? And if you're not, then just add a bit more in this area, maybe a bit less in another area.
And someone I would say, always track what you're doing and do a small number of things really well. Don't try and spread yourself super thin. Don't try and be on every single social media platform out there and try to, because the chances are that you probably haven't got the budget, the time or the resource to actually do that. So instead, focus on where you think your parents will be and try and use some data and track that. What's working well, keep going. If something's not working well, don't continue doing something that really isn't right. And to touch on Victoria's point about international parents and families, increasingly I think schools are having to recognize that they need to be a little bit more localized in what they're doing with those international parents. So you can't constantly now have marketing materials in English, for example. You may need to put it in local languages, or how do parents communicate differently? And I always think back to Chinese parents often use WeChat. That is ingrained into the parental life in mainland China. And you need to be looking at that medium if you're wanting to attract more families from China, for example. And that varies no matter which part of the world you are in. So think about as much about what you're not doing as much around as what you are doing, and hopefully then really double down and focus and track on what you're doing.
So how would either of you advise someone who maybe works in a small prep school, and to pick up on your point there, Dominic, about not spreading yourself too thinly across multiple platforms, how should somebody respond if someone more senior than them says such and such a school is on YouTube, they've got a YouTube channel, we don't have one, why not?
I think I would go back to the relevant individual and have a rather honest conversation, actually, and say, look, there is only so much resource and there is only so much time in the day. We as a school are doing X, Y, and Z, and the reasons why we are. And I think you always need to justify why you're doing something, but also why you're not. So, if you use your example of YouTube, for example, it may be that actually that causes you to think, well, actually, should we be doing something on YouTube, but maybe not doing something on Instagram, for example. But actually, What you don't want to do is start a whole new medium, try and get a whole new following, try and do a whole new piece there that takes hours, if not weeks of time for what could be a very little reward where you're already succeeding in something else. But you also have to, and I know, you know, it would be remiss of me not to say, you do have to experiment and try things, you know, and some things going wrong in sometimes is just as good as things going right.
Yeah. I'm always tempted in those situations to say, that's fantastic. I'd also like to see your schemes of work for geography, please. Because everybody thinks that they can do marketing because everybody has an Instagram account. But yeah, it's absolutely the case that we need to show up in the places where we have the resource to do so. And I think that's tough. And I love that Dominic mentioned experimenting. I say that to my team all the time. And we do that across marketing and across admissions. Mm. And everything's a learning. Even if something falls completely on its face, we take that learning point into the following year. So there aren't really any failures when you experiment.
Mm. Great. Let's talk about follow-up now. I'd love to understand from each of you what great follow-up looks like following an open day or a tour around the school, but without bombarding people. How do we get that balance right?
I think it's, again, if you have your customer journey mapped out and you stay true to that, then you can see. I'm a very visual person, so I plot it out on a 12-month sheet and look at where we're contacting them and making sure we're not bombarding them, but also that we're not making them feel lonely in August by sending them nothing, for instance. But it's about taking those opportunities, as well as basic communication, taking those opportunities to delight the customer as well. And that's something that I always drive home to my team. So we periodically will send them very personal things each admission cycle. So they will get personal postcards or cards. So they'll get a postcard from the prefect who showed them around. They'll get a birthday card from the headmaster. They get a book that the headmaster thinks that they might like with a personal message in there as well. So it's phasing those things throughout the journey to make sure that they're feeling the love.
I'm going to use a real world example there, Simon, which was probably the best follow-up I've ever seen from a school on open day. And actually, when I distilled it down, it was actually really quite simple and straightforward. What they did, they obviously had students doing tours of their site, as many a school do on open day. And once the student had finished their tours, they had a little checklist of every place that they'd been to. And they were asked to tick, I think it was between 3 and 5 different things that they thought the parent was most interested in on their tour. What parts did they stay in the longest, or if there was a pupil there, what part did they really engage with? Maybe it was in design and technology, it was in art, or it was in science. And then when they do the follow-up to those parents, there would be a number of different options that would send to the parents that would be tailored depending on where they had spent the time. So if the pupil had spent lots of time in art, for example, and really seemed to enjoy that as they were going round on their tour, they would follow up with the first comments on their follow-up all being around art and what's the school doing in art. But actually, if it was, you know, they really were interested in sport, that's what they would follow up with it. So I thought, that, do you know what, that's just really clever and not something too difficult that probably most schools can do. But it's just that phasing of what you talk about in that follow-up, or, you know, how do you make it right for that parent rather than just right for every parent.
Awesome. I love that. And Victoria, to come back to you for a moment, what kind of special thing do you do within Royal Russell that could really make a difference to those parents?
So our junior school marketing specifically talks about what are the ingredients of incredible education. So the theme of the video is ingredients. So we're just about to open our brand new junior school in 2 weeks' time. It's super exciting. We're following on that ingredients theme with that. So every family who comes for a visit gets a recipe card, which has a real recipe on one side, and on the other side, it has all the Royal Russell ingredients. Wow. So all of the different subjects and all of the different things that you can see. So we'll ask them when they come for their tour, what ingredients do you want to see today? So if they've really got their heart set, we'll show them everything, of course, but if they really got their heart set on seeing something specific, we'll show them those ingredients. And again, we'll follow up with them based on what they wanted to see. So I think it's just making people feel as much as possible that they are seen and understood, and that you remembered them. And I think that's, you know, I do some inset training about customer experience and I asked people to think about what some fantastic customer experience they had recently was. And then we go through exactly what it was and how it transpired. And I just point out to them that it's never about the product. It's never about that I loved this pen so much because it's the penniest pen I've ever seen. It's because the person heard what they wanted and they found them this pen and then they put it in a lovely box. And they, you know, it's things like that that really make the difference. So it's always about how you make people feel. And that's what we try to drive home with our team here.
Really, really good to hear. Well, look, both of you, I'm keeping an eye on time. We do need to bring this episode to a close. But what I'll do, if you're okay with this, I'll put your LinkedIn profiles in the show notes for this podcast episode. That means if anybody's listening to this and if they want to ask you a question directly, then they can connect with you there. I'm sure that you're both okay with that. But Dominic, Victoria, thank you both very much for being here on the Amicus podcast.
Thank you.
Thank you, Simon. Great chat.